Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, Chelsea draw leaves Champions League unsure. Today I'm joined by our good friend Brady. How are you doing, Brady?
It's actually been a while since I've done the pod. I wasn't here for Brentford. I thought I'd come back for a gimme at home.
Exactly, the easy one.
Against Ipswich. And I've ended up doing the Homer Simpson backing up through the hedge gif. I've just gone back and gone, don't want to do it. So I don't want to be too negative. I mean, you and I have been going back at it a bit, as we do sometimes on WhatsApp. It's just a must-win game that we didn't win. There's not really much more. You can talk about the performance and whatever, but we had to win this game, really, and we didn't. So kind of a odd one to process.
Yeah, it was definitely a must-win game. Anything other than a win was definitely unacceptable. Chelsea 2-2 with Ipswich at home, 74% possession, 2.27 XG, 34 shots for Chelsea in this game, but only the two goals. Ipswich with 13 shots, four on target, and they got two goals as well. How do you process this one overall before we get to likes and dislikes? Obviously, Chelsea dropping to sixth in the Premier League, out of the Champions League places. I know you weren't feeling massively confident about us closing it out in the last seven or eight games anyway. How are you feeling about it now?
It's more the fixtures. I think you could drop points if you had easier fixtures coming up, but unfortunately, the running is tough. We have probably three of the toughest away games in the league in Fulham, Newcastle. I mean, that Newcastle game on the 10th of May, the early kickoff, that is going to be a gargantuan game. I mean, that's probably must win for Chelsea. So it's massive. And then we've got Forest away. And then you've got Everton, Liverpool and Man United at home, which, you know, you could say that obviously we'll be favourites versus Everton, and Man United are very poor at the moment, but it's still a high profile game. And the Liverpool game, I mean, I think we're giving them the guard of honour, aren't we? So that might be a painful day.
I'll be in the concourse having a beer.
We've been speaking to Jamie and Jack, actually, and I'm friends of the pod, Liverpool fans, and we'll be doing a very unenthusiastic clap, or we'll just be getting a pint down in the concourse, yeah. So, yeah, the games are tough. So my feeling of it would be different if we had, you know, Leicester at home still to play, or, you know, Wolves away, West Ham home, whatever, easier games, but we don't. And there's just not much momentum at the moment. So, and there seems to be a lot of momentum around the other teams. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, certainly that result has shifted the confidence, I think, of most fans. Although I'm still feeling positive. So let's see. Let's hit likes and dislikes. You can go first as the inverted commas guest. let's go for your likes first, and then we'll hit the dislikes. I know you've got a little section for that after as well.
Yeah, there wasn't much really to like in terms of the result, but I thought, you know, Simon Johnson mentioned this on the Straight Out Com podcast. You've got to sometimes say, step back as a Chelsea fan and just think of a football fan. I mean, it was a good game. It was very entertaining. I mean, I've moaned about boring Chelsea for a little while. It wasn't boring. It was a throwback a little bit to last season, where it was a bit basketball, which probably was a bit of a disadvantage for us because, you know, Maresca loves control. But it was a good game, very entertaining. That's probably the most entertaining game Chelsea have been involved in a while. So that was my like.
Yeah, my like was getting Nonny Madueke back out on the wing. I thought he's bright, he's positive. It does make such a difference compared to, you know, what we've had so far this season, and at times, obviously, with the injuries, to see some positivity, someone taking on players. I know it makes me excited about what we're going to sign at wing in the summer as well, and how they can thrive in the system. You know, if Maresca is still in charge, which, it, you know, at this point potentially is a question mark, even though unbelievably, you know, I didn't think that would be the case at all.
I don't think they will sack him, because I think they've got the two-season plan where, you know, they've got the Club World Cup. I mean, it'd be very tired to sack him and then go to the Club World Cup, which is obviously can be financially very lucrative. So I think he would have to...
I mean, it would just be, in my opinion, ridiculous to sack him anyway. But yeah,
I think he'd have to lose every game kind of vibes to be sacked, I think. Personally, but
so that was my like. Let's go to dislikes, and yeah, like I mentioned, you've got a little stats section here talking about at Chelsea and sort of the split in the season in terms of performance.
Yeah, I mean, We played 32 games, so a maths whiz like me knows that's divided by 2, 16 each. And it's quite, from a narrative point of view, it's quite interesting because the season was split essentially when the second group of 16 games, the first one of that was Everton away, where you probably remember, or probably don't remember because a bit of a dreary 0-0, where if we won that, it was a Sunday 2 p.m. if we won that game, we would have gone top. And that was kind of just, and since then, it seems like, well, the stats have definitely dropped off. I've got some stats from the really good site that I get sometimes for the previews, Understat. In the first 16 games of the season, we were top for goals scored and XG. So we weren't overperforming whatsoever. In terms of goals against, this is where it's a bit of an issue overall. Chelsea were 10th in the goals against table. We overperformed by 7 goals, so we should have conceded 7 more goals. And XP, basically, we overperformed by 7 points. We got 34 points and we should have got 27. You know, no surprises there. Sometimes when you're scoring well, you're going to be overperforming. But in terms of the goal scoring ability of the team, we weren't overperforming at all. Now, if you quickly go to the last 16 games, we actually have a negative goal difference. So in the first part of the season, we had a plus 18 goal difference. In the last 16 games, since the Everton game, we have a negative goal difference. Scored 19, conceded 20. We're 5th in the XG table, so we've underperformed by 9 goals, which is probably the issue in the team. And the defence is similar. We're 7th for goals conceded in terms of XG. We should have conceded a couple more than we should have. And in terms of points, we're kind of... We should have 6 more points than we do in this time. So basically, long story short, XP were kind of where we should be, and we were performing really well, probably one of the best goal scoring teams in the league, and we've just slowly gradually declined. And there's obviously reasons for that, maybe in Nkunku playing 9, and but also the defense has really just been a kind of 8th to 10th. We haven't got a top 4 defense, really. That's what the stats are saying, and we've been regressing attacking wise, and that's kind of what's the problem. The attack that was kind of covering the defensive deficiencies has kind of eroded away, and that's kind of meant that our season has been very tricky since Christmas, really.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea obviously still second in the table overall for XG, with just under 65, only behind Liverpool, who have 77 XG, and they're miles clear of everyone else. But obviously, we're still ahead of City, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Spurs. Those are the next teams in terms of XG. Newcastle, you know, I think you said in the a few minutes ago, boring Chelsea. When I watch us, I don't see a boring side at all. In fact, I see quite an attacking dominant side, but I don't see the output there at the top end of the pitch. And that's why I think we talked about this already in terms of, you know, what I think in terms of summer recruitment, what we can do to add to this team will be really exciting, because I think the top end of the pitch has a lot to be desired. Goalkeeper obviously is going to be massively improved in the summer, you would hope, and centre-back as well. So, you know, lots of areas around the team to improve. But in terms of the actual structure, in terms of the attacking output that we're creating, I think the number's still pretty good.
I think, you know, overall, yeah, you can say that it's still pretty good. You know, we had a really good start and we're having a poor finish. But you have to say the defence is a worry. I think we're basically a mid-table defence, stats-wise, for the whole season. However you break it down, we're not a good defence.
I don't like breaking things down massively simplistically, but do you think Fofana is a key issue around that? You know, obviously he was,
I think it's deeper than that. I think it's deeper than that, personally. I think it's the goalkeeper. I assume that Jorgensen obviously made that mistake for Villa away. I think there's been a few where... I think Sanchez is probably still top 4 goals, errors leading to a goal, I assume.
He's still top of the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah, so bottom. You would say this, he's a goalkeeper and, yeah, like a quality centre-back. And I also do think, like, right-back's a bit of an issue in terms of, not a personnel, but, you know, he's playing Chalobah at right-back on Sunday, and, you know, Reece James is not getting enough minutes in the league. Gusto's been very poor this season. I think collectively, you know, Cucurella, and also Levi Colwill, I mean... What do you think about Colwill?
There's some question marks about Colwill.
Yeah, there are. He was kind of the 6-year deal. You know, he wanted to go to Brighton, and he was supposed to be the lock at left centre back. And he's been okay, but he's been a bit ropey at times. So I think
he would say himself he's not had his best season, I think.
No.
That mistake for the Ipswich's first goal, you know, that ball should never be able to go across the near post like that.
Yeah.
Turn season. And
you know, tossing is okay, but he's, like we said before, he looks more like a Fulham player than a Chelsea player. No disrespect to Fulham, but, and we're playing Fulham this on Sunday, so it's probably a bad time to say that. But he's more of a kind of, you know, top eight, top ten, kind of a mid table. He's okay, but, and Chalobah,
he's a squad player, isn't he? Really?
Yeah, and Chalobah's similar. I mean, I love Trevor Chalobah, but he's a little bit. We haven't really got the elite centre back, and that's a problem. So,
and Chalobah's aerial weakness has really been showing up for us recently as well. Right, let's move on to the players from this game. Let's move on to temperatures.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Okay, well, I don't know if we're going to have a boiling hot section, but let's start with freezing. What you got for us?
Freezer, and Chris is here, so I can get it in without him throwing daggers at me, is Pedro Neto. It was kind of Pedro Neto crossing the ball like a beach ball in this game, and the sort of P roller shot and extravaganza. Yeah, I like Pedro Neto. You know, he works very hard for the team.
I'm not sure if you do.
I do. I'm more of an output kind of fan. I like players who stat hog a bit. That's why even though Palmer hasn't scored in over 1,000 minutes, that's why I don't mind Palmer being greedy, because I think Chelsea is a young team, and as a player like Frank Lampard, he often wouldn't pass, and I remember Ballack always screaming out and pass it, but he just shoot from distance to score so many goals and get so many assists. He's a really nice player. He's a good player, Neto. You know, good looking lad. You know, he's got a bit about him. He works very hard, but I don't think the output's going to be there. I'm not sure if it's ever going to be there. That Southampton game where he got a goal and assist, that's the first time he's ever got a goal and assist in the same game his entire career. That's worrying. I know he's only just turned 25, but, you know, it's three goals, four assists, and 1,700 minutes in the league. It's okay. It's not great. With Madueke, you know, I think being more productive for me in that, in terms of goals and assists, and Estevao William coming in, and Neto looks much weaker when he plays left wing. So it's interesting. I think he's a really good player in terms of an overall working hard, but I'm not sure he's the guy. And in this game, some of his decision making was really poor. 9 out of 17 accurate crosses. He has 6 shots for a combined 0.15 xG. I mean, I'm all for taking a shot, and Maresca commented after the Legia Warsaw game when you take more risks and have a long shot. And obviously, against Legia, Reece James took a long shot on Tyree George. That's how Tyree George got his first goal. But some of these shots were just P-rollers. He's never going to score. And Neto isn't really that good at shooting from distance. So it was a poor performance, and even the commentators were saying he was very one-note, very kind of just cuts in, floats in a poor ball into, like, it was kind of just cut in, float a poor ball into Cucurella and Jackson, who, you know, Jackson can't head the ball. It's just poor decision making, and I thought we had a poor game, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought Neto was all right. I certainly wouldn't put him in the freezer in this game, but I think some of his crosses weren't dealt with very well. One of the big issues with us, and one of the things, you know, addressed in the summer, is obviously striker, and that's been well documented. But having no physical presence in the box is, you know, a killer in games like this. When teams play a low block, Jackson is just not the striker to play against the low block. Okay. You know, the crossing is what is, you know, given to you really by these teams. You know, you're not going to dribble your way through, or you know, 1-2 your way through when they've got 11 players in the box. You're going to have to cross the ball in a lot, because they're going to give you those half spaces outside the penalty area. And yeah, we've got to improve that element of our game. Fox in the box, you know. And then when the rebounds come, people clear crosses. Can you get your foot on the ball and play a good layoff? You know, there was one situation in the first half where Madueke whipped a cross in. Colwell had a great header, a great chance with a header.
Yeah.
The ball comes out to Jackson. You know, he's got three players around him. Can't get a touch on the ball. You know, just gives the ball away. These are the situations where Palmer was standing right there with a good layoff. He'd have a chance to have a shot on goal. You know, he's rubbish in tight situations, Jackson. And you know, the teams that play the high lines, great, you know, he can press and make runs in behind. But in games like this, we really, really lack a box presence as a striker. That will make Neto look much better.
But I think some of Neto's crosses were just basically going out of play. And he's looked best at false nine this year. His best performances as a Chelsea shirt have not been a right wing. That's worrying for me. I was really, really happy when we got him. But I've been a bit underwhelmed, to be honest. He's not been quite the player I thought, because his first season, he didn't really have, I know he came in late, so maybe not much of a pre-season, a little bit like Caicedo last year. Maybe with a pre-season this summer, I mean, obviously it'd be quite short of the Cup World Cup, but maybe a bit harsh on him, but you've compared him to like a Willian or a Pedro, and he is like that. He works very hard for the team, but we need, with the league we're in, it's so competitive, we need more goals and assists, and yeah, it's just a bit average in that department for me. But it may be a bit harsh and it's a bit controversial, but I didn't think he had a good game.
In this game, I think so, yeah. My freezer's more down the line, I guess, or more accurate for this game in terms of performance, I think. But it's Trev Chalobah. Trev was sort of heralded when we called him back from loan as that he's the best centre-back at the club. I just don't... Mate, and you know that I've not rated Chalobah as highly as maybe you and others in the past anyway, but you know, I think you said even in the pod already, he's a pretty average player, Trev Chalobah.
I think he's more of a squad player.
Yeah, and his aerial weaknesses in these games are really showing up. Obviously there's been a lot of situations where, because we're pressing high, teams have targeted those balls over the top. You know, you think about goals we've given away, City, for example, with Haaland, but also in the Brentford game, it showed up as well. You know, the long balls over the top, we've got to be physically strong. This game again, Ipswich targeted that long ball, and Chalobah can't deal with it when the ball's in the air. He tends to play sort of a safer sort of back off style. He needs to be competitive in the air. He's not good in the air, Trev Chalobah. And then, you know, and this sort of hybrid right back role should suit him really well, where he plays to the right side of a centre back trio when we're in possession. But he didn't have a great game, Trev Chalobah, at all, overall. And he's been overall since he's come back disappointing. I think most people would say.
I think the biggest issue is for me that Chalobah wasn't great, and you know, he's playing right back, and you think the hybrid role suits him, but I don't think he's played the last couple of games and just been chucked in a little bit. And there is a little bit of just, you know, Chalobah tossing Badia Shield. He doesn't seem to be any pattern. Basically, it's like Colwill, and then the other three are sort of chucked in next to him. So that's not great. I don't think he was great. Obviously, he missed a massive chance to win the game as well, which, you know, was an unreal save by the goalkeeper, to be fair. But I think Trev, it's. I don't think he'd be at Chelsea next year. I'm sure he'd love to be, but yeah, I think he's been okay. And I think he's kind of like a 7.5 defender who just gives everything for the club. So like, it's a little bit
6.5. Like, yeah, fine.
So, I think he's a bit better than that. I do rate him more than you, but he gives everything for the shirt. So you kind of got that kind of blue glaze a little bit, where I'm probably blinded a little bit by like the Cobham thing, but he's fine, and just he didn't have a great game this game. But my biggest issue in this game is that he was playing at all. I think Reece James should have played this game, but he can't, because he can't play two. We needed Reece James in this game. There's a moment where Reece James
that was in three games in a week, right?
Yeah, but like, he was literally clapping them on from the side, and we needed that on the pitch. Like the first half, we needed leaders. We needed James to go, right, get your reds sorted. They've scored, because that after they scored, Chelsea were just lost. I mean, and obviously Maresca spoke about the environment and the fans are getting on their back and that sort of thing, but you need the leaders. I mean, you've got Fernandes as a captain. I don't think Fernandes is the guy to really rally the troops in that situation. He can get a bit hot-headed himself. So it was just, and you got Malo Gusto, who is having a shocker of a season, to be honest. Been a bit better lately, but in this game he wasn't great when he came on. So it's just a shame that Reece James couldn't even play any minutes in this game, because we needed him. And you know, when you're 2-0 down, I think they should have brought Reece James on, because he's the captain. Now, I'm not saying the result would have been any different. Obviously, we won the second half 2-0. But I think the situation at right back is very odd. When you've got Trevor Chalobah playing and you've got someone who's been heralded as the manager's in love with on Thursday night, the club captain and Malo Gusto, all, and Trevor Chalobah playing ahead of them, it's very odd, to be honest. So
Yeah, I don't find that quite as odd as you, but I do think that James maybe I would have liked to see him come on. We'll understand the minutes management, and obviously we're not.
He doesn't need to play Thursday, does he? We're through. So like he'll probably play in midfield on Thursday, but he has to. Reece James has to play versus Fulham. These games are fine.
I think so as well. I'd be disappointed if he plays him on. For 90 on Thursday and then doesn't play Sunday.
He has to play every game. I mean, they keep saying this. We're running out of finals. We've only got 18 points available. I mean, the max we can get now is 72 points. That's if we win every game. I mean, we're struggling to make top five. So, yeah, we need our captain. And right back has just been a bit of a disaster this season, really. You know, Malo Gusto, one of the best players last year under Pochettino, maybe a breakout season, been shocking. Can't adapt to the inverted role. Reece James has barely been back recently. He's been a bit of a, almost a half-baked, but he hasn't been the Reece James of old quite yet. Josh Achapong's done well when he's come in. And, you know, Disasi filled in earlier in the season, now Chalobah. But it's, Kukurea has been really good on the left, but right-back's been a problem area for Chelsea, I think, this season for many reasons.
Yeah, we'll escape Rob Sanchez as well from the freezer, I guess.
I saw a video on X that, yeah, people just screaming at him, but he was used to it. And to be honest, I mean, we speaking about Sanchez. What do you want to talk? What do you think about what Maresca said about the environment? What do you think? Do you think it was foolhardy, or do you think he had a point?
Well, I think what he actually said, as opposed to you know what people have taken it as, I think is objectively fine. I think he's a bit tone deaf in terms of his standing right now with the fan base.
Yeah.
I don't think now is the time for him to be handing out any advice to the fans in the stands, because he's not, for whatever reason, and again, not my personal opinion, but he's not massively popular with the fans right now. So, you know, my advice to him would be, you know, get on with getting the results on the pitch and you'll become a bit more to the standing where you can start, you know, calling out fans. But I do agree with what he says. In terms of it's not constructive or helpful for the fans to get on Sanchez's back, because I think we've seen from Jorgensen he's nothing special either in goal. So we're stuck with Sanchez for the rest of the season. I think, you know, what Maresca says, I'd rather get behind the team. You know, I think that's the best thing to do. But, you know, obviously fans are going to behave exactly how they want to.
I think there's a couple of things in the straight up podcast, like Simon Johnson said. It's kind of a little bit of a chicken and egg situation where me and you go back and forth about this, where is it up to the fans to inspire the team or the other way around, right? And it's kind of been a bit of a battle where we have a young team who need pushing, but we have a very disgruntled fan base. So, you know, again, Simon Johnson said that Chelsea have gone from being best to the best to also-rans. I mean, that is true, really. I mean, we're pretty irrelevant, really. I mean, we're not anywhere near the best team in London at the moment. Or let alone
when were we the best of the best?
Well, I mean, we win in leagues every year, right? I mean, we're pretty...
I mean, yeah, it's a decade ago.
We're kind of like, we've turned a little bit into like a kind of Tottenham-y kind of, when they were decent kind of club, like just getting fifth and sixth and getting to cup finals and losing. I mean, that's kind of what we've turned into the last few years. I mean, obviously our history is a lot better in recent times, in the last 15, 20 years, but we have kind of turned into a kind of top six, top eight, you know, get to a final, maybe that sort of thing. And that's obviously quite a big drop off from where we were, a massive drop off from where we were. So I do think that, I still think there's a hangover from the Tuchel sacking. I think there's a hangover from the Potter thing. I think I think from the whole ownership, whether you or not, I think there's still a lot of disgruntlement. And I think they've used Sanchez as a bit of a scapegoat at times. I spoke about that this year where the fans have been, I mean, I don't rate Sanchez to be honest, but they've been overly critical of him. They needed someone to blame. And they didn't want to directly blame the manager, so they blamed the goalkeeper who plays his style.
I don't think the fans have any problem trying to blame the manager.
No, well, I think they've been... You have to say that Chelsea fans have been incredibly patient the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, it has been... I think other fan base would have turned more toxic than they did, and you can't be surprised that the team are booed off at half-time. You just can't be surprised. I mean, it's 2-0
at 100. That's standard, though. We've been booed off at half-time for forever when we're playing badly. If we were 2-0 down to anyone at half-time, which, by the way, has barely happened at Stamford Bridge ever, like since I've been going, we've been 2-0 down at half-time, you would be booed. Mourinho, Conte, whoever the manager is.
And deservedly so. But I think that I think Rusko has a point. I think this atmosphere at Stamford Bridge is quite poor. I mean, you and Chris go a lot more than me, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn. And when you're watching on TV, you don't always get the reality of in the stadium. But it has been quite poor. I know recently where you
said he's talking about this. I mean, that's a separate topic. I think he's more talking about the nervousness in possession.
They go hand in hand, though. I think if you had a better atmosphere, I know that you said there was a bit of kind of a section where a singing section recently, right? Where, like, if you just immediately had songs being sung, a bit of positivity, that kind of just would make things. If you're just sitting there and it hasn't been like on 15 minutes and have that kind of like eerie silence or, you know, niff pace pass, it feeds into the players. If there's a bit more, you know, oomph or kind of energy from the fans initially, it would help. But again, we've got an aging fan base, so that's been reported. A lot of our season ticket holders are kind of, you know, over 50, so they're going to be singing a little bit less. So just, there's a lot of issues.
Partly that as well, obviously. It's why would you give your season ticket up at any age?
You know,
even if you weren't going as much.
And then obviously, you know, for better or for worse, Chelsea are trying to attract some more. You know, we generate a lot less turnover than other clubs. So, or other big clubs like, you know, Arsenal and Tottenham and, you know, Manchester United and Man City. So they're trying to do more exclusive tickets and maybe bringing in more tourists, maybe more of American fan base, things like that. But that won't help the atmosphere, obviously. So
I don't think when you're playing 18th place at home, I don't think anyone has a great atmosphere in their ground. You know,
I agree with that, but you have to say that generally Stamford Bridge, the thing that is Stamford Bridge is so close to the pitch, and we won't have it forever. You know, in Champions League nights, I mean, the last Champions League night we went to was a long time ago, Dortmund at home. It was electric, right? Remember, there was like, you know, outside the ground, there was like, you know, singing, and it was great.
That's the last one. Full stop.
Yeah. Last one, period. But Stamford Bridge can be very intimidating.
The Tottenham game, obviously, recently was fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah,
for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, at the Emirates and other grounds like that, you are much further away from the pitch. It's much more difficult to create that atmosphere. So we won't have Stamford Bridge forever. So it'll be good if we can utilise it and have a bit more of a 12th man. But it's an interesting debate whether Maresca's right or the fans or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Maresca's definitely right. It's just whether that was the right time.
You should have read the room a bit better, I think.
Yeah, that's what I would say about Maresca's. It's like, that's going to be reported as Maresca criticizes fans on the back of the, you know, whatever newspaper rag that you're reading, and you know, that is not exactly what happened, but it is, you know, I guess a way of representing what happened.
Shots fired at the Sun newspaper there.
Right, let's move on to warming up quickly. I assume we're not going to do boiling hots. Was there anyone that stood out for warming
up?
Really,
performance that stood out for me. There was a lot of kind of mere performance. I'm going to give it a warming up moment. It's Jadon Sancho. I mean, what a goal. Yeah. I mean, what a goal. I mean, it was as brilliant as it was frustrating. Because you're just thinking, where has that been? Where has that been all season? He hasn't really had a shot. He hasn't had a shot on target for about... I know CFC Central, really great X accounts, posted he hasn't had a... There was a time until recently he hadn't had a shot on target like from mid-December. And, you know, he scored that wonderful goal against Tottenham. And he scored this goal. And there's so many times where he shapes to cut in and then cuts back again rather than shooting. He clearly can shoot from distance. He clearly has got a decent shot on him and can generate some power. Why haven't we seen that? It's very frustrating. But what a goal. I mean, you've got to say, what a goal. You shot and you're thinking, what, you know, no way is this going. And it's floated in. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in favour of him not being at the club next season and the club playing a course to let him go. But you've got 10 games, you know, 6 games and probably 3 or 4 games, 6 games in the league and 3 or 4 games in the Conference League to try and keep his place at Chelsea, as you'd say. And, yeah, if goals like that won't hurt, but it is like a little bit, maybe a little bit too late for him, I think.
Yeah, let's see on Sancho. Certainly, I like the warming up moment idea for sure. I'm going to go with Nons. I know I talked about him briefly as well earlier. I just love that energy. I don't want to sort of repeat what I said earlier, but just love that energy down the wing. I think we're going to really appreciate that in the next few games, especially in the away games. I think coming up, Fulham is a great example for a game that's perfect for him to play up there with Jackson as well. Those two great on the counter, great with spacing behind, great one-on-one. You know, he's going to have a task against Robinson for Fulham. He's playing really well. And yeah, let's see what he can do. You know, Fulham are playing, you know, tonight, see how they get on. But, you know, it could be potentially a really important game for Fulham as well. So, yeah.
Did you say word on Manu? Okay. The word I would use for him, he's very aggressive in terms of he's very, very good at getting from the byline to kind of into the box, right? And he is fantastic at that. His end product isn't always that good. He's, I mean, he's got 7 goals, 3 assists in 1,600 league minutes this year. So he's got a goal or assist basically in nearly 150 minutes, which is pretty good. But you do, when you need a goal, and we need goals at the moment, like, you know, as the stats, I mean, you can say whatever you want about the stats I did earlier. We're not scoring enough goals. And he has got more of a goal and assisted in like Neto. I would rather him play than Neto at the moment. And I'm not trying to bang on Neto, but we need goals and we need creative moments. And he is, you know, I think he's our third top scorer. You know, he scored 2 in the Conference League recently. I want him on the pitch as much as possible, really, because he isn't everyone's cup of tea. Some of his attitude, obviously, he walked off against Arsenal, and some people question his attitude a little bit, and his body language isn't always great. But he's got a lot of ability, and he can score a goal basically from nothing. And we need that in these very tough games coming up.
Yeah, let's talk about the game coming up next for us, which is home to Legia Warsaw. We'll be there.
Yeah, we will.
Supporting the team, obviously, hopefully, to fairly straightforward.
They're getting like 50 loyalty points for that, surely.
Formality.
3-0 like, up against on a Thursday night. They should be getting more loyalty points, Chelsea FC, for that, I think. But anyway, yeah.
It's kind of crazy that it's a quarter final, isn't it? So yeah, we're heading into the semi finals if we manage to hang on to our 3-goal lead in this game. Team wise, what do you think he'll do? Do you think he'll start off with sort of a more solid team and then get the players off that need to as we go down the line?
I mean, I've spoken before. I don't want Cole Palmer to be on the pitch. I don't want Reece James to be on the pitch. I don't want Caicedo to be on the pitch. I think this is a game we heavily rotate. I mean, I think you could play Shinji Maeda up front. I think Tyreek George should start. I think Asher Bond should start. I think you should go as weak as you should because the tie is over. So I don't want any injury risks. We have 6 finals after this, and I'm not including the. Well, we should have 7, including the Conference League final. But he shouldn't. I mean, I would be very, very disappointed if Reece James plays 90 here to the point of delusion of Maresca, where I think he has like plans for like players' minutes a lot. But here, he should just essentially just play a weak team and just see the game out. If we draw the game or lose the game 1-0, it doesn't matter. We just need to protect players and cotton wool players for the last, you know, 6 games of Premier League. That's the way I'll go for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Fulham game this Sunday is absolutely massive for us. Yeah. After this Ipswich result, we really actually can't afford to lose that game, to be honest. I mean, that is as serious as it is right now, because despite it being a tricky game, you know, we'll probably be small favourites. It's a.
I think we have to win, Craig. I think you can't. I don't think a draw is good enough, and we have to win that game. I mean, I said that again. And me and you went back and forth against Brentford the week before. I thought that was a very star performance, but there were issues with like load management. But there's no issues with Fulham. There's no reason for. He can't come out if we lose next Sunday and say, "Oh, the players are tired." There's no reason for load management to be an issue with any of our key players.
Yeah.
Like I said before about rotating on Thursday. I think if you lose away to Newcastle, you go fair enough. If you lose away to Forest, fair enough. But we have to beat Fulham. We have to win because we've got to put pressure on the teams above. And we're seeing now that, you know, Villa are on fire. I mean, obviously, they're probably going to go out of the Champions League. But Newcastle are on fire. Villa are on fire in the league. City were 2-0 down. They win 5-2 against Palace. We're the only, I mean, I know Forest lost recently against Everton, but we're the only team without any momentum in that area. So. Yeah. We need to win for them. It's not a draw's okay. I think if we draw, we're not going to make Champions League. I think it's that simple now. I think we can be pretty definitive here. We have to win that game. So I don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that, but certainly, you know, I think a loss would be very damaging for us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rule it out because we've got games against teams that, you know, like Newcastle. That
if you look at it, we have to win all our home games. That's 9 out of 9. And then you get to 63, and then you just get what you can away. I think we're going to need 67 points, which is quite a lot. That's 13 points from 18. It's a lot. Very tough fixtures, so we have to see how we go.
Yeah. And also potentially coming back soon is the Europa Conference League second top goal scorer.
Who's that?
Mark Guiu.
Oh, yeah, Mark Guiu's back. I know he was back in contention.
Yeah, so, he's back in training maybe next week, so we might be able to see him.
He's going to be. He'll be desperate to play him there instead of in Nkunku at nine, put it that way. But, yeah, I mean, that'd be nice to see Mark back.
He's actually probably, you know, now we think about the pecking order up top, you know, he would probably start ahead of Nkunku up front.
Probably.
It's incredible to think that we would be here in April when in the offseason. I know Nkunku's not pure nine, but like he obviously can play striker. Yeah. But now we would just say Mark Guiu's just better striker than Nkunku, which is
kind of. I think you can say that Nkunku will start on Thursday and so will Dewsbury Hall and Jorgensen. Yeah. I think that.
Yeah, we've got some nailed on starters, actually.
They're nailed on. And the others are variable, I suppose.
Tyreek George, yeah.
Tyreek George. And Ashabon. Yeah.
All right, let's have a prediction then. What are you going for?
I'm going to go 3-1 Chelsea.
3-1, okay. I'm going to go 1-0 Chelsea. I think it'll be a tight game. And I think that they, even though they're 3-0 down, I don't think they're going to come out gung-ho. They're just going to set up their normal way, and I think it'll be a pretty boring game, unfortunately. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. Right, thanks very much, Brady.
No worries.
And yeah, that's all we've got time for. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Graham Lasseau, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea, Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.